Blog Talk Radio.
This is Lori Smith, and this is One Child Abuse Survivor to Another Restoration. I'm glad to be here. It's Monday night, September 24th, 10 o'clock p.m. here in Calgary, Alberta. And just, it's been a good Monday so far. Survived Monday. Mondays are tough, but that's all right. You know, we made it through, so hopefully you're having a good night. And I changed this show from a day show to a night show because I can make my night shows a little bit better than my morning shows. Lately I have a little bit more, ambition in the evenings than I do in the morning. So that's why I changed it to a night show, because at least I'll be here, hopefully, show up to my shows. Thanks, everybody who's been tuning in. I really appreciate it. I hope that you're getting something out of this and it's helpful for you. We're looking at information from Havoca.org, H-A-V-O-C-A, Help for Adult Victims of Child Abuse.org. And it's we're looking at the last part of this one section, which is help for their, it's under their help for adult survivors information tab. It's forgiveness issues. And so that's what we started looking at last Monday. We're going to finish it up tonight and it'll be all done, that section. And it's been helpful. I find that information from Havoca was very useful. And that's a great website. I would recommend it to anybody who's a survivor of abuse or even a supporter of a survivor of abuse, for information for supporters as well. And I'm a volunteer with NASCA. I'm the Alberta Ambassador for NASCA. That's NAASCA, National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. I just volunteer with them, and they're awesome. Bill Murray and team, huge lot of volunteers, actually, that do that work for NASCA. And you can check out our website. It's a great website. There's lots of information there. I mean, tons and tons of resources and info and help for people. You can get a hold of people to talk to people if you need to find some resources or need some help in your area. And just go check it out, NAASCA.org. And on that main page, you can check out, they have a Blog Talk Radio program too. And they're on 6 nights a week. I'd be on more of the shows, but I work actually at the time that I'm working when the show starts, so I can't be on the shows there, unfortunately, just like one a week. But you can check that out yourself. They have great shows for survivors of abuse and for anybody who's in the, you know, child protection and you know, anybody who's interested in the welfare of adult survivors as well as stopping and preventing child abuse. So I would check that out if you so desire. So we'll get right into this. If you're a survivor of abuse, you know, you want to make sure you're safe enough to be listening to this information here tonight about these forgiveness issues and stuff, because, you know, if you're not that far along in your healing journey, you don't want to be triggered and then end up having a horrible night. So if you're just not sure how to know, you know, how am I safe enough to be listening, you can get that information from several places, but one for sure is ASCA, that's Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, a Morris Center program. Just type, I'm actually a volunteer with them too as well. Just type into your browser ASCA, Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. It'll come up, and you can get their Survivor to Thriver workbook. It's free. just download it, or you can read it right online there. And it has a safety first chapter for people who want to learn how to be sure that they're safe, you know, to be able to know whether they're safe enough to be listening to certain things or reading certain things or whatever. And get that information. It's really important because triggers, you know, can cause people to go backward in your healing journey, and you just might have a horrible night. You might hurt yourself or harm somebody else, and you don't want to do that. So get the information. If you're not sure, then you have the responsibility to turn the show off and go get that information. You wouldn't be hurting my feelings for sure. And I'd rather see you be safe. If you're anybody else listening to this and you're just, you know, maybe sensitive to the topics of abuse and child abuse, then you need to, you know, make that decision for yourself whether you should be listening and, you know, make the right choice for yourself, right? So we'll get right into this. We're not going to read what we read last Monday because you can go back and listen to that show if you want to. But just looking at the last part of this, these five stages of grief, you know, going from normal functioning to complete, you know, shock and denial, anger, depression and detachment, dialogue and bargaining, acceptance, and then returning to a meaningful life. So we're looking at the last part of this, and this is the forgiveness section. It's acceptance, forgiveness. So we're about halfway through the article there. I did pop the link into the chat room if you want to check that out. It's there. And we're about halfway through that article. And I'll just pick up. I'm just reading right from their website. Forgiveness and grief are processes and not events. You will find that you may be in one stage for what you have lost as a child, but be in another stage for what you have lost as an adult. You may find it useful to write a forgiveness letter to the people who abused you. Do not send it, though. Remember, you're writing the letter to help you, not them. So you can also write a letter forgiving yourself for the things you did or didn't do to survive the abuse. And they have a whole section on approaching your abuser as well, which we haven't looked at, but you can look at it on their website. And so they said here, when you find yourself in the acceptance or forgiveness phase, you will find a true peace. And you will realize you no longer live your life around the childhood abuse, but rather you live in the knowledge that you have survived. So this is sort of how a person, you know, towards the acceptance phase, when, you know, the survivor is progressing through their healing journey and actually making a lot of progress, they might come to this point. I guess I'm really close to this point. I wouldn't say I'm there yet. I still got some severe problems to deal with, but I'm getting closer all the time, you know. And the reason I can tell that is because I don't spend the same amount of time in depressed states. You know, I don't spend the same amount of time in anger and rage. I don't spend the same amount of time kind of, you know, in flashbacks or in looking back or whatever. So I've definitely made progress, but I still have a ways to go, I think. And it says here, the next section we'll pick up here in a minute, but I want to go back and look at this. So what we were just reading there, you can write a forgiveness letter to the people who abused you, but don't send it, though. So, you know, I've seen that on lots of websites for adult survivors of child abuse. You know, I did that myself. I actually wrote letters to my abusers, but I didn't write them as forgiveness letters. I wrote them and told them everything I wanted to tell them about what they did to me and how it really damaged me as a person, my whole being, you know, not only my body, but my mind and my soul and my spirit, because I was made barren by the CSA child sexual abuse. There's so many issues from this abuse that just ripped my heart out, you know, as an adult, you know, dealing with this stuff. I had never dealt with it properly, and I just found that it was destroying me. And just, you know, the whole issue of being so rejected by my mother especially was hugely hurtful. And this stuff is hard, you know. Like, I wrote forgiveness letters to my abusers, my mom, my dad, and my brother. Not forgiveness letters. I wrote letters of accusation. They were not forgiveness letters. I actually wrote and told them off in these letters, but I couldn't give them to them because they're all passed away. My dad was still living, but I didn't bother to give him his letters. But I wrote everything that I wanted to say, which was very helpful, and then I tore them up into tiny little pieces and then threw them in the garbage. So there was, you know, even if they were alive, I wouldn't have given them those letters because I would have had no contact with them. So you got to be, like they said, don't send them, though. If we're going to write a letter of forgiveness, I'm not going to write a letter of forgiveness to the people who abused me, because I'm really only partially forgiving them. I talked about that on the last show. Like I'm not forgiving what they did. I'm just forgiving them as being human, fallible human beings who made some serious mistakes and hurt me incredibly badly, you know. And I mean, I'm not even talking about my other siblings and what the abuse did to them. I'm just talking about me. And, you know, as far as forgiving what they did, like I said in my last show, I don't think I'll ever be able to do that. So I'm not going to write forgiveness letters to them. I just, in my heart, I don't want to hate, because I find that I even today, like while I was working, a lot of hate comments came out of my mouth. I hate this, I hate that. And I'm trying to lose that, because that's how I grew up. So just being hated. You know, my mom hated me, and she told me she hated me. And, you know, I hated life. I hated myself. I had so much hatred, you know. And I talked, oh man, I did several, I don't know, hundreds of shows on that previously, like 2009, 2010, 2011, if you want to go back and listen to those. Talking about the self-hatred, and then I think they're even categorized there. If they're not, you can go to my website. I've got a whole categorized list of all the shows that I did and links. So if you can't find them here on Blog Talk Radio, you can go to my website. Just type in Born in Hell, Lori Smith, or you could type in author Lori Ann Smith .weebly.com, and my website, Born in Hell, there. I actually have lists of all of the shows that I did and the links, and also the topical information of what I was talking about, because I didn't do that while I was doing the shows here on Blog Talk Radio, so they're hard to find. But there, it's all categorized, so you can check them out if you want to. But anyway, I mean, I was talking all about all of this stuff of self-hatred and self-loathing. You know, I'm trying to get rid of the hatred. So for me to not forgive my abusers, I've gotten to the stage where, you know, the last so many years, I'd say, that I want to be forgiven for, you know, the things that I've done and in this world. Not that people would ever be able to forgive what I did, but they could hopefully have some compassion for me, you know what I mean, as a person. So that, therefore, I need to give that back to other people. And so I know what my mom went through. My mom was a survivor of abuse herself. Not only that, but in this domestic violence situation, doesn't excuse what she did to me, but I also understand, on the other hand, why she did it. I'll never understand how she could do that to me. That's just terrible. I can't even imagine doing that to your children. She did that to all of her children, not just me. I was just the last one that came, and she was definitely not interested in raising me and could have just let me go when the courts got involved. But instead of that, no, you know, put me through the ringer along with the other siblings. So it's kind of like, you know, these things are tough, right? I understand what shape she was in, very mentally ill, emotionally, psychologically screwed from the abuse that she suffered from her own mother, as well as then married to this man who my dad, which was a disaster. And so, you know, I understand my dad's situation. You know, like, I mean, I've talked about all this stuff. My brother was psychologically ill, the one who sexually abused me. I understand these things. They were warped and twisted individuals who ruined a family instead of getting help, which is really a bad decision, but that's the one they made, and the rest of us are stuck trying to live and make it through, right? It's like, just, you know, it's tough. It is definitely hard. So, yeah, I'm not going to write forgiveness letters, but some people might get something out of that. You know, you have to search your own self. You have to search your own soul and your own, you know, feelings on it, and, you know, make decisions like that. You don't have to do these things. These are suggestions from these guys just to give people an idea of what might be helpful. You know, I know writing a letter of what they did to me really was helpful, and then I tore it up, but at least I got to say what I wanted to say, and I've been saying that for 11 years now. Well, I've been doing Blog Talk Radio since 2009, so let's say 9 years on here. So, saying exactly what I want to say. But yeah, it's tough. It is hard, these things, you know. And like they said, when you find yourself in the acceptance or forgiveness phase, you will find a true peace. You will realize that you no longer live your life around the childhood abuse, but rather you live in the knowledge that you have survived. That's true. We live in the knowledge that we have survived. Well, because we're not in the morgue, so obviously we survived. Is it any kind of source of comfort? No, not really. You know, to me, that's not a comfortable source, like a comfortable saying, just because I survived it. My mom used to tell me that, you know. She'd be like, well, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. After she bashed my head in, you know. I'm like bleeding on the floor, you know, and half dead. to be like, well, what makes, what, you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. It's like she just was very, very sick, you know. And so statements like that don't do me any good. I survived, you know. Well, I did. I'm not in the morgue. I'm still here. But it doesn't help my situation as far as bringing me peace, you know. It says when you find yourself in the acceptance or forgiveness phase, you will find a true peace. I don't know about that, you know, just because I accept the abuse, accept the fact that, okay, you know, this is what happened. I survived. I'm healing. I'm on my healing journey. Does it bring me true peace? Not really. The abuse will never, the relationship that I had with my family will never be reconciled. And so that doesn't bring me any peace. I guess what brings me peace is the fact that I'm on my healing journey and I'm actually trying to do something good for myself instead of destructive, you know. That brings me some peace, you know, a little bit. You know, just to know that I can do this, I can heal, I don't have to self-destruct like my brothers did. I don't have to have a horrible life as an adult, you know. I don't have to suffer anymore under anybody else, you know. The suffering that I'm doing now is just from so long ago, it's not even funny. But that I don't allow abusive people in my life, so therefore I will not be re-victimized, right? So that's one thing that brings me peace, that I'm not being abused anymore. And that I can learn new things. I can grow as a person, you know. I can learn how to take care of myself. I can learn how to be good to others and be good to myself at the same time. And how to learn to love and not hate, right? And that's the big thing. I'm really working on this stuff and working hard because I catch myself doing things that are so ingrained in me that, you know, I have to go and really make a conscious effort, you know, to change these things, you know, to change my behavior because I don't want to be my mom. I don't want to be my dad. I don't want to be my sick and twisted siblings. You know, it's like I don't want to be those people, you know. I want to be the farthest thing from them you can imagine, which means that I have to have a heart full of love for myself and for others, and I have to care about people, and I have to take care of myself, and I have to take care of other people, because that's the opposite of my parents and my family. You know, I need to be responsible, and I need to, if I hurt somebody, I need to ask for forgiveness, and I need to, you know, at least own up to it and try to make it right. You know, and if I'm doing something wrong, I need to correct it. You know, like whatever it is, try to be a better person. That's like I said before, that's kind of where I'm at. So that I don't become my abusers, because I don't want to be like my parents. And, you know, they set a real firm example of how not to be, you know, towards people on this planet, towards anyone. And so that's my thing. So that brings me a little bit of peace that I'm actually making some progress in this area. It's taking me a long time, but I'm working through these things just slowly, you know, grasping them when I can. So that's good. But, you know, it's tough. It is really tough. I don't know. Can a person ever say, oh, I'm healed, you know? I say, well, you know, work towards total restoration because that's my goal, right? But I don't know if it's possible because I haven't seen it yet. You know, somebody else can say, oh, I'm totally healed, but you don't know whether that's true or not. You yourself are the only judge of that, right? And so if I can say, oh, I'm totally healed, you know, at some point, I would be the only one that would really, truly know that. And so I haven't seen it yet myself, but I'm working towards that goal of total restoration because I don't want to be that sorry, pathetic, sad individual that my parents set me up to be, you know, and my sibling, my brother, who sexually abused me. You know, I look at my life and I say, wow, you know, like, it's been totally, the path was set for me, you know, and it's taken everything I have just to try to get off of the path that they set for me and get my own path and find path to peace, you know, path to happiness, path to something that means something that's good, you know. And it's hard because I'm reminded every day, you know, like we all are in this world, you know, like they said, you know, we might be in the stage where we're halfway, you know, grieving still, you know, what we've lost as a child, or we might be in another stage where we're grieving what we lost as an adult, you know. And I mean, I lost so much as a child, but I lost so much as an adult as well, you know, not being able to have children. And that's not that I would have had children, but I would have liked to have the opportunity to have children, you know. And, you know, it breaks my heart because I would have had a child if I could have carried it. And I actually lost a baby by the only time that I was ever able to become pregnant, just because of the CSA child sexual abuse. So my life was, you know, definitely changed by the abuse. And, you know, even the stuff that my mom did to me, horrific, and the stuff that my dad, it'll never be okay what they did. It'll never be able to be made right. You know, there's no way that a person could go back and change these things. So that's my goal, is to learn how to change myself so that I don't become my abusers, so that I don't become my brothers who gave their lives, who, like, committed suicide in their 30s and had such horrible adult lives because of the abuse that they suffered as children. People say, well, you can't blame that on that. And yes, you can, because I watched them. I watched them self-destruct. They were allowed. They were, first of all, they were abused, and then my parents, not my dad, but my mother, encouraged them to do drugs around the house. She let them do drugs, heavy drugs, heroin, you know, whatever they wanted. They could do whatever they wanted around the house because she wanted them there to protect her from my dad. See, so she enabled their drug use, which was bad because they were like 12 years old, 13 years old, you know. 14, 15, they were just young guys, young boys dropping out of school doing heroin. And, you know, and that's not funny, right? But it's sad because then they went on to have these pathetic, horrible adult lives and killed themselves in their 30s before they hit their mid-30s. I was heading that same route, you know. It's absolutely horrific what this stuff does. So, yeah, I don't know. There's never, you know, I'm working towards total restoration because that's what I believe. I believe that that can happen. That's why I have hope, you know. I have hope, right, that somewhere along this journey I'm going to hit a point where, you know, I wake up and I don't see the connection between myself and my abuser family, my abusive mother and my abusive father, my abusive sibling who sexually abused me. I won't. That's what I'd like, to wake up and not see the stains of that abuse. You know, I want to call it stains. It's like the filth. You know, it's that dirt they put on me. You know what I mean? It's whatever you want to call it. I call it evil, right? And so I'd like to disconnect from that, but in reality, and not do it. Like my other siblings, who are in denial, you know, I'd like to be able to. I can't be in denial, so this has to be a real thing, where one day I'm going to wake up and I'm not going to feel any connection to that anymore, and that's my goal. You know, I'll be my own person, you know, away from that, and that's what I'm working on. And hopefully, I'll get there. I still have hope that that can happen, but you know, it's taken a long, long time. So they go on here and they say, important, this last little section. Do I need to forgive my abuser in order to heal? And this question is always raised during the recovery process. In my opinion, this is their opinion, the only necessity as far as healing is concerned is forgiving yourself. So developing compassion and forgiveness for your abuser or for the members of family that did not protect you is not a required part of the healing process. It is not something to shoot for or to aim at. It is not the final goal. This does not escape the fact that eventually you will have to reach some kind of resolution to make peace with your past and move on. Whether or not this resolution encompasses forgiveness is a personal matter, and you may never reach an attitude of forgiveness, and that's perfectly all right. So I really like that. And that's true. You know, you don't have to forgive. This is up to you, right? It's the same with me. It's up to me to make that choice. And just because somebody else says that they've forgiven their abusers doesn't mean that I should have the right to diss them because they've forgiven. They've done what they needed to do to heal. And same with me. I'm only partly forgiving mine. I forgive them because out of the compassion and goodwill of my heart, I know how screwed up they really were. And so, you know, I forgive them. But I'll never forgive what they did. So I'm only halfway forgiving. It's not a complete forgiveness. But other people may never forgive any of it, and that's okay, because it's what you need to do for yourself, really. And like they said here, you know, the whole issue is forgiving ourselves. The only real issue as far as healing goes is forgiving yourself. You know, do I need to forgive myself? I don't know. I don't think I need to forgive myself for anything, because I wasn't responsible for any of it. You know, a lot of times people say, well, you must have been a bad kid to deserve to have your mother treat you like that and your dad to treat you like that. As far as the CSA child sexual abuse, they don't have anything to say about that. They're pretty tight-lipped about that. But, you know, the other stuff, the physical abuse and just the whole rejection and the verbal, emotional, psychological abuse from my parents and spiritual abuse, you know, do I need to forgive myself? No. That's ridiculous, you know? Like, I sit there and I can remember this stuff, you know, like very clearly. And I think, what was I doing, like, at the time, you know, for these different events that really stay with me because the abuse was so horrific. And I'm like, I wasn't doing anything, you know? That's the whole issue. Abuse is not about discipline. Abuse is not discipline. People confuse the two all the time. So, no, I don't need to forgive myself for any of it. I guess they said, you know, earlier they said, you know, we could write a forgiveness letter, you know, basically to ourselves, forgiving ourselves for the things that we did or didn't do to survive the abuse. I've really never done that because I don't really feel bad about anything that I did or didn't do in the survival of the abuse. I was just trying to survive. I was in survival mode, man, just like all the other survivors out here, trying to survive, you know. And everything that I did was based on that. So, yeah, I did a lot of drugs as a teen, you know, 12, 13, 14, all the way up to 21, 22. I did a lot of drugs. I mean, I'm not talking a little small amount of drugs. I did a massive amount of drugs. I probably did enough drugs for like 4 or 5 people, you know, in a lifetime. I did a huge, serious load of drugs. And I thought, well, you know, if I die from this, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me because it was kind of a way out. I thought, well, if I overdose, you know, just like my brother, right? If I overdose, it's just going to be a quick way out. But when I got older, I started to realize how stupid that was. And one of my brothers, the one who sexually abused me, committed suicide. He was a cocaine addict. And, you know, he had been trying to kill himself for years. So he finally made it. But, you know, I didn't want to go like that. I thought, no. And then, like, my other brother, he was still alive, but he was in prison and in and out of prison. And he was just such a mess. And I thought, I don't want to end up in the gutter. I could see myself ending up like my brothers, living this horrible life. And I thought, no, I got to change this. I got to change this. So I did. I got off the drugs myself at the age of 22. But I had to stop hanging around with people that I love, my friends, who were my real family. I mean, I considered my friends my real family, not my family, because my friends were there for me. My family wasn't. So it was hard, you know. But I don't feel that I need to forgive myself for that. That was something I did in order to cope because I had to be able to go home at night. You know, I had to be able to go home after school and I had to be able to walk in that house. And if I was high, it was just a little bit better because I could deal with it. I was like 13, 14. I was also getting beaten horrifically by my mother mainly, but some by my dad too. And I was like, it was kind of helping me to stay. It was helping me to stay sane in an insane situation is what it was. It was my coping mechanism. And I'm glad that I got off of them and stayed off of them. So that makes me happy. But I don't need to forgive myself for that because I was just doing what I needed to do to survive, you know. I don't think that's what, see, other people may feel that they need to forgive themselves. And that's okay, right? Because, I mean, everybody's different, right? Yeah, I mean, there is one little part of me, I guess, that feels that I should maybe write a letter of forgiveness to myself. And that's just actually giving so much time and attention in my 20s to my abusive family when I should have been gone. You know, that's basically where it is. Well, we have about a minute left. We don't have much time here. So I guess what we'll do is we'll look at a... self-esteem affirmation from Hoboka. I can say no to other people and know I remain loved and cared for. Well, I would hope so. That doesn't always work, you know. I can say no to other people and know I remain loved and cared for. That's the way it should work, you know. We have a right to say no. And, you know, we don't have to be the yes people, pleasing people all the time. If we don't want to do something or something makes us uncomfortable, we can say no in a polite manner and expect that we would remain loved and cared for. That's very true, and I really like that one. So, yeah, we have about a minute left. If you need coping information, you know, like, for instance, just anything, even, you know, staying present, self-nurturing ideas, you know, grounding, you know, like meditation stuff, there's this website, Child Abuse Survivor Monument. Just type in www.irvingstudios.com, and or you can type in Child Abuse Survivor Monument, and it'll take you there. And there's a great survivor information tab there. Just click on that. It'll take you to all this really good information from Irving Studios, Michael C. Irving. He's a survivor himself, but he's a psychotherapist and a sculptor, and he's got a great website there. So be sure and check it out. And check out our website at NASCA, NAASCA.org, NASCA.org, and you can go to their scan blog talk radio shows. Take care, everybody. Have a great night, and we'll see you next Monday.